بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. What a blessing it is to learn about the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. We are about to study about that Sahabi whose house was chosen. His house was chosen by Allah for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم's first madrasa. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first markaz. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first maktab. It was the first hifz class. It was the first place of dhikrullah, the khanqa. It was the center of Islam. It was the center where Sahaba radiyallahu anhum would gather. Where Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to motivate the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The verses of Quran would come down. They would come here to receive it from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they would establish halqa of ta'aleem. And they would learn iman. And they would learn Quran. And they would learn whatever basics of deen was there to be learned. Allahu Akbar, this Sahabi every one of us should know. He was Al-Arqam. Al-Arqam bin Abi Al-Arqam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So, Al-Arqam bin Abi Al-Arqam. So his name was Arqam, his father's name was Abu Al-Arqam, and that was his appellation, and his title was Abd Manaf. Then his lineage goes bin Asad, bin Abdullah, bin Umar, bin Makhzum, Al-Qurashi, Al-Makhzumi. So he comes from the Banu Makhzum tribe. The Banu Makhzum tribe. Allahu Akbar. This was the same tribe that senior mushrikeen came from. The senior Meccans of the Quraysh. They had rivalry with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family. And they were trying to get on par with the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family. That's why their hostility kept them away from deen. But look at the purity of this individual, Al-Arqam radiyallahu anhu, that Allah brought him and Allah chose him. His mother's name, Umaymah binti Abdul Harith. And some reports say that her name was Tumadir binti Hudaym. And she was from the Banu Saham tribe. So this Sahabi was among the early Muslims. The early Muslims. Radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Sahabi Arqam radiyallahu anhu embraced Islam in the initial stages. Aslama qadiman. And according to some historical reports, in Ibn al-Athir's Usdul Ghaba, he mentions that Kana Thani Ashar, he was the 12th individual to become Muslim. And he was among the early Muhajireen. In the report of Al-Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, he mentions that أَنَّهُ أَسْلَمَ سَابِعَ سَبْعَ. He was the seventh individual to embrace Islam. So he was one of seven who were among the early Muslims who were making fikr with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and who were protecting their deen in the hostile environment at that time. He mentions that himself and Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah and Uthman bin Mad'un radiyallahu anhum, these three embraced Islam at one and the same time. And he sacrificed his life for Allah Ta'ala's sake. In Mustadrak Hakim, he mentions that Arqam radiyallahu anhu was among the last Badris to be alive. There is a discussion in that regard, but he was amongst them. He wasn't actually the last, but among the last of the Badris to be alive was Al-Arqam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So in the initial stages of Makkah Mukarramah, Muslims were being tortured. Muslims were going through difficulties. Muslims were harmed in regards to their deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Arqam radiallahu anhu's home to become the center, to gather with the Muslims, the markaz and the madrasa and the maktab. And here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit with them. Because this hostility towards Islam, in the first three stages, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's da'wat was in the secret level, done in secrecy. Then in the fourth year, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started giving da'wat openly, anywhere and everywhere. The da'wat to Islam, the da'wat to Allah. Then Muslims were being oppressed now. And they couldn't even meet anywhere to learn.
So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Arqam radiallahu anhu's home in the early 50th year. And here was where Sahaba radiallahu anhum were made, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum were trained, and the halqas of ta'lim was taking place, and the teachings of deen was taking place. Regarding this, Sahaba radiallahu anhum would say, ta'allamna al-iman, thumma ta'allamna al-Qur'an, fazdadna bihi imana, rawahu ibn Majah. We learnt iman. We learnt iman, and then we learnt Qur'an with that. And with iman and Qur'an, our iman increased. Allahu Akbar. Because if you understand the history of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the initial stages, there wasn't so many injunctions of deen. The actual injunctions, the ayat of the Qur'an came in the form of encouragement to strengthen Sahaba's iman. Incidents of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. So this kinds of mudakaras were taking place in Arqam radiallahu anhu's home. The verses of Quran were being revealed, those verses were learnt. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were learnt. And iman was learnt. Yaqeen was learnt. Allahu Akbar. So we learn from here, how important is Darul Arqam in our deen? How important is the maktab? How important is the basic understanding of the fundamentals of our Sharia, and how important is this for us as individuals of this Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how important is this for the future of our deen, for our children, my respected listeners. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Every one of us have to be part and parcel of this. Interesting is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Arqam radiallahu anhu's home and not Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home. The response to that would be that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home was obvious. When they're looking for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they'll find him in Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's home. But he chose Arqam radiallahu anhu's home because this home was camouflaged on the other side of the Safa mountain. So the Muslims knew, nobody else knew. And then also we learn that Arqam radiallahu anhu's home became so virtuous because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's presence there. Because of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spending hours and hours and lot of periods there teaching the Sahaba radiallahu anhum the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Many of our scholars, Al-Azraqi rahimahullah mentions in his kitab that anna mawdi'a dar al-arqam min afdal al-amakin bimakkata ba'da dar khadijata binti Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. He says that the best home in Makkah after Khadija radiallahu anha's home was the home of Arqam radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. The best home in Makkah after Khadija radiallahu anha's home was the home of Arqam radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. لِكَثْرَةِ مُكْثِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِيهَا. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's presence there was so much. He was mostly in Arqam radiallahu anhu's home, inviting to Allah, teaching the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. So this makes this the most virtuous place. Great, great Sahaba radiallahu anhum embraced Islam at the home of Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That great Sahabi, Hamza radiallahu anhu, now who is Hamza? Hamza is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hamza radiallahu anhu is the foster brother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdul Muttalib had made arrangements that his son Abdullah will get married to Amina bint Wahab bin Abdi Manaf bin Zuhra. So Abdullah, the father of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gets married to Amina radiallahu anhuma. At the same time, Abdul Muttalib proposes for the cousin of Amina. So Amina is Amina bint Wahab radiallahu anha. And Abdul Muttalib gets married to Hala bint Wuhayb. So Amina bint Wahab, Hala bint Wuhayb. And Wuhayb and Wahab were brothers. So he gets married to the cousin of Amina radiallahu anha. So Hala bint Wuhayb bin Abdi Manaf bin Zuhra. This was the cousin of Amina bint Wahab radiallahu anha. And in turn, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born from Amina radiallahu anha, and Hamza radiallahu anhu was born from Hala bint Wuhayb. And they were born at one and the same time. So they were foster brothers also. They grew up together also. But Hamza radiallahu anhu was very, very powerful. He was a courageous man. And at first, he didn't embrace Islam. But alhamdulillah, he also afterwards embraced Islam in Arqam radiallahu anhu's home. Then the incident of Umar radiallahu anhu
trying to take his sister and his brother-in-law away from deen. And then when he set his eyes on the verses of Quran and the environment of the halqa of ta'aleem in the home of Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, that affected Umar radiallahu anhu. And then he says, take me to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Khabbab radiallahu anhu comes out because he was teaching them. He brought them to Islam and he had fikr for them. He taught them, he was teaching them. He says, come, I take you. And he says, I must tell you, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Darul Arqam was making dua for you. Now he could say Darul Arqam, otherwise he just kept a secret. And he takes him. Where does he take Umar radiallahu anhu? Where does Umar radiallahu anhu recite Shahada? It was in Darul Arqam. Umar radiallahu anhu recites Shahada in Darul Arqam. Allah give us tawfiq. Our every home must be an imitation, must imitate Arqam radiallahu anhu's home. From our home, deen must be established in our home. Deen must be learnt, deen must be taught, and deen must be taken to the four corners of the world. That intention we must make, my respected listeners. That's how much love and admiration we should have for Arqam radiallahu anhu. What qabuliyat Allah gave him, what acceptance Allah gave his home. That his home became the means of the giants of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. The great, great Sahaba radiallahu anhum embraced Islam in his home. Allahu Akbar. So we must ask Allah Ta'ala that Allah must make us a means for the establishment of his deen. Our businesses must become like Darul Arqam. Our homes must be like Darul Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, whatever we do must be for the upliftment of Allah Ta'ala's deen. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that The goodness and the amal of deen is like treasures. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Mubarak is for the one who Allah makes him. Allah makes him a key to the treasures of good wherever he goes, and a lock to evil. And destruction is the lot of the one who, wherever good is taking place, he tries to put finger and stop it. And wherever evil is taking place, he tries to instigate it and spur it on. Allah Ta'ala make us of those who are keys to good and locks to evil, and not vice versa. For the believer to be connected to the markaz, to a center wherein he learns his iman, where he learns yaqeen, where iman is strengthened, where a person leaves with vitamins of iman to spread it to humanity is so important. And very importantly, and most of utmost importance is the maktab. For us to increase our knowledge, for our children to be enhanced in knowledge, for them to have the fundamentals of deen and sharia in the initial stages of their life, which is the importance of maktab, this is something that has to be given such importance and it should not be underestimated. Our children are our future. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Rahmatullah Ali mentions that in his time there was a big gathering of Christians in India. And they wanted to tour Nadwatul Ulama, his Darul Ulum in Nadwa. So they went to the different sections and they were amazed. And finally they came to the Maktab section where the children learned the basic of deen and learned the Qur'an Kareem. When they came there, they were in shock and utter consternation. And in dismay and unbelief. And when he saw this expression, he asked, what is the matter? He says, no matter what we try and what the forces try to stop Islam and distance people from Islam and distance people from deen, it can never work because you all start the education of your deen from the grassroot levels. Allahu Akbar. Our ulama say that those children who will have a correct, proper, strong maktab education, Allah forbid, Allah save them from leaving iman, but they will never ever leave their deen. And if because of the strong environment out there, they get confused at some time of their life, but because of the maktab education being strong, under the guidance of our ulama, those children will always come back. Those children will always come back to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. That's why we were amazed to hear the Karguzari report of even in Palestine, when they were actually paying attention to maktabs, they don't want the maktabs to take place. That this mustn't take place. That's why even our ulama are saying that in every masjid, there must be a maktab, where the children must learn the deen of Allah Ta'ala. More important than every other institution of deen is the maktab institution. That this is the future. This is the future of our youth, of our children.
Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. You know, this dua for our children, dua for the iman of our children is so important. My grandmother said, I must share this dua in the Quran Kareem. Allah Ta'ala mentions, and this is actually a dua of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. We strongly advocate upon the human being to be kind to his parents. And then Quran highlights the efforts and the sacrifices of the mother. حَمَلَتْهُ أُمُّهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. And then the verse carries on. And then the Quran says that this person now reaches the age of 40. And then he makes this dua. It's actually indicating to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's dua, because he embraced Islam at the age of 38 with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he was by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's side, and he gave all his life and sacrifice for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Quran is teaching us to make this dua like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did. What was the dua? قال ربي أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. He says, oh my Rabb, أوزعني, enable me, أوزعني, make it part of my قسمت and my lot and my share and my luck. أوزعني, Allah, Allah, enable me, make me of those أن أشكر, who will make your shukr, who will appreciate your favors. نعمتك التي أنعمت علي, the favors of Iman and all the favors you have blessed me with. And make me appreciative of the blessings you gave my parents also. So we learn that if Allah gave something to your parents, it's something that we should also make shukr for, because we must be very, very happy for our parents. وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَنَ صَالِحًا. And O Allah, enable me to always do salih, righteous, pious, good deeds, Allah. Good deeds, Allah. صَالِحًا تَرْضَى. Deeds that you are pleased with. Meaning when it's done in accordance to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with sincerity. Make it of that caliber and level, O Allah. صَالِحًا تَرْضَى. And then, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. And O Allah, correct my condition for me in regards to my offspring and my progeny right till posterity. So what we learn, that the believer is worried. What is his worry? That deen must never ever come out of his home. Allahu Akbar, my respected listeners. Sadly, just the other day we were visiting the hospital, and we came across one elderly sister. We passed there, she was actually reading the Bible. So one doctor told me that actually she left her deen, left Islam 20 years ago. So we visited her, explained that, you know, about Allah's greatness, and then she asked, who was Hajar? Hajra, she asked, but actually the correct pronunciation is Hajar. So we explained to her who was Hajar alayhi salam and how she was the wife of Ismail alayhi salam. And I realized she's asking that because that was her name. And in that, at the end of the discussion, we made some dhikr of La ilaha illallah. And she says, you know, really Allah sent you. Allah sent you. So we told her Allah will never forsake you. And actually one of the reasons is that when her husband passed away 20 years ago, the Christians used that vulnerability and then they took her towards Christianity. But then she was so softened by the dhikr of Allah and the few words of Allah's greatness and the visit and some ikram. The next day when I took the Quran translation for her, she was so happy. Then she stopped reading the Bible. She was reading the translation of the Quran Kareem. Now imagine how people can lose their deen. So we're learning in this dua that we have to worry that deen mustn't come out of our children also. So we explained to her that, see, people might not be able to support us sometimes. They won't be there. But Allah is always there for us. So don't leave Allah's deen and leave the truth because of people's conditions. So Allah Ta'ala save us. Even in Quran teaches us how Ya'qub alayhi salam was advising his children, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Oh my children, I strongly advocate to you, never leave the deen. Leave with Iman, leave with Islam. So this is very, very important for us to make sure that our children have Iman and they never ever forsake their deen. And let's not take this for granted. This could be lost easily because of the force of the environment. That's why this maktab is so, so important. Allah forgive us. Today, we give so much of importance to school. Not to say it's not important, but we actually give that more emphasis than even our deen. To such an extent that our children, if they are maybe a little not well, we'll make sure they go to school. Then we'll say, for madrasa, you take a break. What are we teaching that child? That actually, school and your worldly education is more important than your deen. Allah forgive us. That's what we
emphasizing in the child's mind and heart, and the child will live with that. And worse so, the child goes to school afterwards, he wants to do some sport or some other recreation, and we allow it during the time of madrasa hours. So deen is jeopardized. Allah forgive us, Allah forgive us. And then worse so, sometimes the child wanted a break or some haircut, we took the child during madrasa hours, during maktab hours. And then the next day, the child asks, what do I say to my Mawlana? So what we say? No, just say you are sick. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What are we teaching our children? What are we teaching our children? That when you are in a catch 22, lies will take you out. Allahu, Allah forgive us. When the alim in the maktab is trying to explain to that child and teach that child deen, iman, never to lie, the importance of du'as, the importance of sunnah, that this will take you out of every situation, that we actually making secondary in our life, Allah Ta'ala forgive us, this could bring barbadi to us and destruction. In the verses of the Quran, Allah says, وَجَعَلُوا لِلَّهِ مِمَّا ذَرَأَ مِنَ الْحَرْثِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ نَصِيبًا فَقَالُوا هَذَا لِلَّهِ بِزَعْمِهِمْ وَهَذَا لِشُرَكَائِنَا فَمَا كَانَ لِشُرَكَائِهِمْ فَلَا يَصِلُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ فَهُوَ يَصِلُ إِلَى شُرَكَائِهِمْ سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala tells us the equation the mushrikeen of Makkah made. They used to give some sacrifices, and they would give some sacrifices for their idols, and they would take out one portion for Allah Ta'ala. Obviously, this whole distribution of theirs was incorrect and was wrong. But what was worse was, when they, obviously it's shirk, so in totality it is wrong, but they would give one portion for the idols and the other for Allah Ta'ala, and then when they were short some way or the other, they would take from Allah's share and add to the idol's share. So Allah Ta'ala says, obviously shirk is so bad, and then over and above that they show such disregard that they actually give more importance to the share of the idols than that share that they allocated for Allah Ta'ala. Na'udhu billah. Allah forgive us. Yes, Allah save us from shirk. But look at us, we give time for dunya. Our children must learn the secular education. And then we give time for Allah's deen, our children will learn Allah Ta'ala's deen. But every time there's some other work, other duties, other responsibilities, will eat from the share of the deen of Allah, where our children are learning the deen, and will add to the other share that we're giving for their dunya. So Allah Ta'ala forgive us, our distribution is incorrect. So Allah Ta'ala save us, and Allah Ta'ala inspire us and enable us to teach our children what is priority. And what is priority? Allah is the goal and the purpose and the objective of our life. And the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this maktab education will actually inspire that into our children. Historians mention that Arqam radiallahu anhu's house was also called Kanat Daruhu Tusamma Darul Islam. It was the home of Islam. Kan Tusamma Darul Islam. And in this Darul Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make dua for Islam and make dua for the ummah and take the names of the individuals that Allah Ta'ala bring them to deen. So also, let us also make fikr that maktabs, more and more maktabs are established. Sadly, in many, many countries, when they saw the effect of maktab like Kenya and so forth, many of those ulama working there gave us these reports that how now they don't want the children, the Muslim children, to attend maktab. So what they did is they extended school hours, like in Kenya. So and in other countries, what they did is they made the school two sessions. So in the morning, take a small break, and then come to school again in the afternoon, right till the evening. So there's no chance at all, because they realized that when the children's maktab level is strong, they will not be able to become Christians, and they will never forsake their deen. So Allah give us tawfiq, we should also make effort to uplift the maktabs, wherever in the world. During the time of Hijrah, Arqam radiallahu anhu made Hijrah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they came to Medina Munawwara. And in Medina Munawwara also, they made great sacrifices. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a plot of land to Arqam radiallahu anhu in the Banu Zurayq area. This was an area of the Ansar. And that plot that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allocated to him in Medina Munawwara was also called Darul Arqam. So obviously the A'mal was being established there as well.
So Arqam radiallahu anhu, what an honor Allah Ta'ala gave him. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gathered Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Abu Talha radiallahu anhu's home to establish this bond of brotherhood between Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So no nationality, race, color may break us as the ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And brotherhood, the bond of brotherhood was established between Al-Arqam radiallahu anhu and between Abu Talha Zayd bin Sahal Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. The famous Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, the husband of Umm Sulaym. So these two were brothers. And alhamdulillah, together they sacrificed for Allah's deen and they strove in the path of Allah Ta'ala and they taught each other and they helped each other. They both were participants and veterans of Badr. They participated in Al-Badr, Uhud, Khandaq, and every expedition with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's famous about Arqam radiallahu anhu, on the occasion of Badr, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own Mubarak hand gifted Arqam radiallahu anhu with a sword. Arqam radiallahu anhu received the sword from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one report of Hakim, this is a hadith of Arqam radiallahu anhu, some hadith that he narrated. He says on the day of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sahaba radiallahu anhu, put down the goods, and among the goods was a sword picked up by a Sahabi, Abu Usaid al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu. It is a sword that belonged to one person in history, Ibn A'id al-Marzuban. So Arqam radiallahu anhu recognized this sword being a famous sword in history. He says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I have this as a gift? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sure, and gave the sword to Al-Arqam radiallahu anhu. There's another report by Hakim that Arqam radiallahu anhu, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask permission to go to Baytul Maqdis. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, where are you off to? He said, Baytul Maqdis. What prompts you to go there? Is it for trade? He said, O Nabi of Allah, I want to perform salah in Baytul Maqdis. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salah in my masjid is better than 1,000 salah than anywhere else, except Masjid al-Haram. So Arqam radiallahu anhu remained behind. This report comes in Al-Hakim. So we learn from here that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't tell him to go there for ibadah alone. Because at that time also, there was difficulty. It was the initial Medinan period. Deen hadn't reached there yet. It could have been dangerous for him. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prompted him rather to stay in Medina Munawwara because the rewards are so great. But on other occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send Sahaba radiallahu anhum to different countries. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhum went to Sham, the Syrian region, to take Islam, to strive in Allah Ta'ala's path, to invite to Allah Ta'ala, to make jihad in Allah Ta'ala's path. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum were sent. So we learn one valuable lesson from here. Is for ibadah alone, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him in Medina Munawwara because the rewards are so great. But for striving in Allah's path and da'wat to Allah Ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did send Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So we learn from here the value of inviting. Because the reward of inviting is so great that one's deeds doesn't stop. With ibadah alone, a person leaves this world, the good deeds stop now. With inviting to Allah Ta'ala, bringing people to Allah's deen, connecting them to masjid, a person left this world, but Allah makes it that his good deeds are still ticking and continuing. So Allah make it such that we can also continuously invite to Allah and share Allah Ta'ala's beautiful deen. Another report of Arqam radiallahu anhu, he narrates, and this is in Musnad Ahmad, that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to the effect, إِنَّ الَّذِي يَتَخَطَّى رِقَابَ النَّاسِ. The one who climbs over the necks of people on the day of Jumu'ah and separates between them. They're sitting together, وَيُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَهُمْ. He separates them. He's like the one who's pulling his entrails in the fire of Jahannam. كَالْجَارْ قُصْبَهُ فِي النَّارِ. So we learn from here that not to harm people on the day of Jumu'ah. We should come early to the masjid. Allah give us tawfiq to come early to the masjid. Sahaba radiallahu anhum would strive to come early to the masjid. The closer we sit to the khatib on the day of Jumu'ah, the closer we will sit in the front, closer to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. What it means, Allah knows best how to be closer to Allah Ta'ala. But we will get that virtue. And there's many rewards for this. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu comes to the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah. There were three others. So he says, I'm the fourth. And he was regretting. He says, but okay, it's not so bad, but it's not first. So there was some regret that he came the fourth. So we learned that we should strive to come early in the day of Jumu'ah. And the report of Musnad Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who makes sunnat ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, and he walks to the masjid, and doesn't ride a conveyance, and he sits and he listens attentively to the khatib. For every step he took to the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah gives him the reward of 1 year's fasting, 1 year's tahajjud. What a valuable hadith. For every step, 1 year's fasting, 1 year's tahajjud. Allah give us tawfiq to practice the etiquettes of the masjid, especially on the day of Jumu'ah and throughout the week. So Arqam radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith of not harming the people by jumping over them and so forth. And that would happen when a person comes late. But sometimes a person came after others and they left gaps in front. Then with etiquette we should actually, with respect, go forward and fill those gaps also. But we have to be careful not to harm anybody. And make sure we don't speak during the bayan and especially during the khutbah, because that would nullify our Jumu'ah. Allah Ta'ala save us. This is a common disease, sadly. People are just chatting or speaking and our children don't know this. We should actually notify them of this important aspect of our deen. And Arqam radiallahu anhu lived his life serving Allah Ta'ala's deen. And during the reign of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, the cup of death came to Arqam radiallahu anhu. His grandson, Abdullah bin Uthman bin Arqam, narrates these some incidents that when Maut came to Arqam radiallahu anhu, he gave wasiyah that Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu must perform his janazah salah. So Marwan bin Hakam was the governor at that time of Medina Munawwara, and Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was not there. But because it was the wasiyah of Arqam radiallahu anhu, his children and grandchildren insisted. So they sent for Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, and after some time he came. So Marwan says that why are you delaying the sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for another who is absent? But the children insisted. Either it was Ubaidullah bin Arqam, and he said that no, Marwan, you don't perform the janazah salah, we want Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. And then Sa'ad radiallahu anhu came, a very senior great sahabi, Ashra Mubashara, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu came, and he performed the janazah salah for Al-Arqam bin Abi Al-Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he passed away in the year 55 Hijri, according to Mustadrak Hakim. And he was 83 years old. Allahu Akbar. So according to some reports, or of historians, some statements, they say he was among the last Badris to pass away. Actually, it would have been Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was, it's recorded by the historians that he was among the last of the Muhajireen to pass away. Because not long after that, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu passed away. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So the last of the Muhajireen to pass away. And amongst the last of the Badriyeen was Al-Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful life of the great Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Allah give us tawfiq to take inspiration from Arqam radiallahu anhu to establish the halqa of ta'aleem in our homes. This beautiful fada'ilul a'mal, the stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, learning iman, learning yaqeen. In our homes we should actually start this. Everyone should have a chance, have a turn to talk about Allah, invite to Allah. And like this we will actually strengthen our children and prepare our children to be of those who will affect the environment for good and not take effect from the environment towards evil. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.